Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome once again to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad. We are brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Also brought to you by Gamefly,
everybody's
destination for new and used video games with membership options for every budget. Every budget. Plus, their store carries Lego products and some of the most popular arcade one-up cabinets.
Step on them if you want, but only if it's consensual.
Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back with the postage-paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. This has been a heck of a year, 2021,
we're
right in the beginning of things. Did you go to any parties?
Yeah.
Hit it! Pilot party! Pilot party!
Pilot party!
Welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire TV series based only on the first episode. Why only the first episode? Because I'm a procrastinator, and one show was all I had time for before we started recording. Gentlemen, the year is 2032, and the next presidential nominees have been decided. And the one to watch is Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, no.
This month, I watched Young Rock, a sitcom based on the life of Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
We first see Dwayne sitting down for an interview because critics are saying his cushy lifestyle has made it hard for him to relate to everyday people. He plans to prove that wrong. We start with his childhood in Hawaii. His dad, Rocky Johnson, is a professional wrestler. Dwayne, his dad, and his mom are living out of hotels. To keep up the gimmick, they can't be seen hanging out publicly with the other wrestlers. Iron Sheik, Andre the Giant, but they all hang out together, you know, behind closed doors, especially at Dwayne's grandma's apartment. During one such evening, little Dwayne makes the offhand remark calling wrestling fake. This prompts Andre the Giant to stand up, and he's 7'4".
Mm-hmm.
Picks little Dwayne up so he can be looking him in the eye and says, "Is this fake? No? Then it's real. Now we hug." And then hugs the child.
He went from French to Russian and...
Well, because he doesn't... When you think of Andre the Giant, you do not think of this kind of accent. And this is the only outrageous French accent I know.
That's fair.
Okay.
So I add a bit of Russian to make him sound deeper.
It's also at this time we learn that Rocky will routinely break promises to Dwayne for business reasons. Like they were supposed to go get ice cream, but Andre wanted the boys to go look at a restaurant venture he was interested in. So he said, "Well, I got to go take care of this." Fast forward to high school. Now living in Pennsylvania, money is tight and Dwayne resorts to stealing clothes to make himself look good for the girls. Although given his large stature... people think he's an undercover cop, like in 21 Jump Street. They actually make that reference.
Okay.
Yeah. He needs a car, because the family only has one car. The dad's using it to go on trips for wrestling conventions. Mom's taking the bus to work. He's taking the bus to and from school. He wants to impress the girls. but he's only got $103. Guy sells him a car for $103.
Mm-hmm.
It is a,
I'm sure it goes well.
It is a crappy, beat-up Thunderbird. As he and his friend are cruising along, a guy named Waffles pops up out of the back seat. He's been there the whole time. Shenanigans with Waffles ensue, and he and Dwayne have a heart-to-heart, and Dwayne realizes there are more important things than girls. Then Waffles dies. In the car.
Oh, my.
Just before telling him the secret of happiness. All you gotta do is...
Okay.
Turns out that was the answer.
Dwayne calls the police and informs them, quote, "There's a dead guy named Waffles and a random Thunderbird that belongs to absolutely nobody. My name? Mayor McCheese." And hangs up the payphone and walks away. Because they're outside of McDonald's. Moving forward to college. Dwayne is enrolled in the University of Florida for a football scholarship. Unfortunately, when he walks into the locker room for the first time, he finds that his dad has already been there hyping him up, saying that Dwayne is going to be on a box of Wheaties. Well, that's not true, you know. Hmm. And their question is like, really? Is this some sort of college program? So, no, it's Wheaties Asia. No, it's a thing we're doing overseas.
Oh, geez.
His dad is just working the gimmick, trying to, you know, hype up his boy. And this annoys Dwayne because he doesn't want the gimmick. He just wants to be himself. Then he has an idea. The locker room has a bench pressing scoreboard. He loads up the weights and breaks the standing record. And as he put it, he's making the gimmick work for him. He's being himself, but dialed up to 11. This is the same guy that threw Ludacris off the bridge in Jumanji 5, and the same guy who played Gene Simmons in the Kiss biopic. This is a fun show. It is Everybody Hates Chris, but with more wrestling. It's got that feel to it, because Dwayne narrates what's going on, kind of like Everybody Hates Chris and the Wonder Years, whatever. He's seen in the show, kind of bookending each segment before and after the commercial breaks, whatever. So it's a fun show. The show doesn't rely on Dwayne's acting. Not that he's a bad actor, it just doesn't rely on it. He is not the star of the show. He's the narrator. He's the vehicle for the show to move forward. So you have three versions of Dwayne: child, teenager, college. They all work very well. They all look like him. They all, you know, you can tell. The guys that they got to play, Andre the Giant and Iron Sheik and his dad, Rocky Johnson, they very much look the part and sound the part. It's just, the casting is good. The writing's funny. Overall, I give it 4 out of 5 senses. I may not be able to feel it, but I can certainly see, hear, taste, and smell what the Rock is cooking.
Okay.
I love you for that.
All right.
I love you too, Darren.
Well, from that delightful distraction of party and mayhem, there are a lot of shows out there that live in the memories of TV land. Some of them are given new life, and some lie half buried in the ill-managed landfills of society. This segment of the show asks you about one such forgotten piece of television history and asks, should we review this movie? It was good then, and the original's just as good now. Should we reboot this show? I shouldn't say movie, the show. The idea is sound, but we can modernize it, and we can capture some magic. Revive it. What are these characters doing after a couple decades of growth and development? Or refuse it. Chad, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed. Gentlemen, the year is 1995. School's just started back up again, September, and the crushing reality of high school is certainly weighing us down. A little bit of fantasy, a little bit of escapism, that's all we're asking for. So on that fateful Monday, September 4th, 1995, we turn on our television sets and are treated to the high-pitched trilling of Lucy Lawless flipping through the air, fighting dozens of bandits. Over the course of the episode, she'll meet Renee O'Connor, and the two of them will form a friendship as strong as any seen on television in that era. So let's riff on Xena, Warrior Princess. This show saw so many things happening over the course of its many seasons. I mean, we got to see Bruce Campbell in his second best role ever as Autolycus. We got to witness Carl Urban, yes, future Judge Dredd, as Julius Caesar. The always charismatic Kevin Todd Smith as Ares, and of course, Ted Raimi as Joxer.
Joxer the Brave.
Yes. The show was darker than its parent show, Hercules, The Legendary Journeys.
And better.
And better. And pushed its characters to greater heights and depths. The final episode of Xena saw Xena dying as part of a redemption arc that had been going on for pretty much every season, but to a villain that we had no connection with. It was supposed to be the backdoor pilot to Gabrielle's continuing on the story. But she'd been resurrected before in this series. And so there's room for that here again, if need be. So my question, Xena Warrior Princess, review, reboot, revive, or refuse?
Definitely not reboot.
Okay.
Because some shows that were not as good could use an updated treatment. This was a good show, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't think it needs, well, let's just start over again. We don't need that.
Right, right.
Right. And Lucy Lawless is Xena.
Yes, absolutely. Now, maybe in another 20 years, we could look into maybe a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely rewatch it. But I'm going to lean into a revival, but only in the sense of like a one-off movie to really tie things up. It's so many years later. I mean, Lucy Lawless is still a very capable person, and so is Renee O'Connor. So I'm sure they would have no problem coming back and doing it one more time to make sure that all the ends are tied up nicely.
Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor have both said that their original opinion of the final episode had changed, and so they just eliminate it, and the show ends like two episodes early.
Even better.
I would agree with Justin. Revive it, but do so as a one-off. Maybe pretend like Lucy Lawless and Renee O'Connor said, and that forget that last episode and just do a different finale. But definitely revisit it. But if you can't do that, then rewatch it start to finish, because it truly is the right amount of cheese and drama and action, and it's still watchable today.
Yeah, because even if Xena's character relies on her dying in the end for a redemption, you can still do that, but give her a glorious death with somebody that we're like, you.
Yeah.
That guy. Yeah.
So.
Or gal.
It's Joxer. He's the great bad. That.
But I'm actually on the review side of it. I'd just like to let it lay.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. That's fine.
And same here. But if they were to go back and do a revival the right way, I'm on board.
Right. So. But yeah. Yeah. That little trip down some memory lane on that.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Yeah.
Let's see. What else we got? Oh, we got the movie trailer roundup. Not a lot of movie trailers this week, like over the last couple weeks. So we got The Batman, you know, the Cats and Bats. Oh, how I miss the days when it seemed like Batman could at least pretend to be a functioning member of society. I mean, remember Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
A little aloof, a little dim. The mask goes on and poof, Batman. You know, Robert Pattinson really is a good actor. And somehow they've made him look like the Scarecrow instead of like the Batman.
Bruce Wayne shouldn't be emo.
It just...
No.
Doesn't seem
That's
to...
what Batman's for.
So, Uncharted All right, this is either going to be a good action movie that's going to start a series of high-budget adventure serials in the Indiana Jones style of things, or it's going to be a great video game plot that we're just not going to be allowed to play. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground here, and I'm still looking forward to Antonio Banderas as the villain. He makes a good villain. Dawn Raid, D-A-W-N, Raid, because of this trailer, I am now aware that there is such a thing as New Zealand hip hop. Did it make me want to either listen to it or watch the movie? No. Mm-hmm. But for those into it, it looks well put together to be both informative and entertaining. So go for it. Playground. Films that are featured at Cannes. Come for the ennui, stay for the crippling depression. Ferroequinology. This is a made-up word. All words are made up, but this one's specially made up with a different root. So, ferro from iron, equin meaning horse, the iron horse, ology study thereof. Ferroequinology is ostensibly the study of trains and rail systems. This movie is a black and white movie that seems to be kind of a travelogue for a couple of artists tracking down people and the trains they find. It looks like one of those wonderfully quiet movies that give a bit of calm in a sea of Army of the Dead sequels, prequels, and spinoffs. Where it's like, do I want to watch more Zack Snyder? Or do I want to watch a guy have conversations with people who are really into trains? I tell you, certainly tempting. So, moving on to actual reviews of things. Don't Look Up. It's on Netflix. Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence. I would really like to recommend this movie because it's really well made. Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence are excellent actors. They deserve their accolades. Meryl Streep is a legend. Jonah Hill carries his part of the movie standing up just as well against these others that have far greater awards to their names. It's really well put together, and I hate it. A comet is streaking towards Earth. It's going to hit the Earth. It's going to kill everyone. So first the news is covered up, then it's sensationalized, then the wealthy merging of Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk decide that they're going to try and profit off of it. And at the end, everyone dies except for the rich people who get to escape to a brand new paradise planet. The end. If this movie came out 6 years ago, we'd be laughing at its absurdity. Now it's just too realistic based on our last 2 years of existence for it to be comfortable. Dang it.
Yeah, I saw the trailers and I thought, oh, good. So they somehow took the frustration of my day job and made a movie out of it.
Yeah, this is Darren Kryptonite. Darren, do not watch. All right. The Way of the House Husband. This is funny. This is on Netflix. A former Yakuza is now a house husband, and he attacks the realities of domestic life with the same intensity that made him the immortal dragon. And once you've watched about a half dozen of those, then watch the live action series, The Ingenuity of the House Husband, which has the voice actor of The Way of the House Husband doing house husbandy type things. So, like, the first episode is him changing the rice paper on a door, you know, and showing that. It is wonderful. It is quiet. It's relaxing. The live-action one is quiet and relaxing and quiet. Like, it is softly funny, right?
Okay.
The anime is hysterical. Because you've got this guy, you know, scar on his face and tattoos and so forth, wearing this apron and, like, going and picking out tomatoes. But then when people see him, like, he's got there's this, you know, that ka-dong kind of tone that comes when something's supposed to be scary, and you look up and he's looks like a zombie practically, you know, his eyes are blank and around in the grocery store. It's like, you have to pick the right tomato. Just glorious. Are there any other reviews or new things to talk about before we get into the random movie review?
Well, I know Justin and I have both seen Hawkeye.
Yeah, and it was good. Don't stick around for the after trailer thing because there isn't one.
There is an after credits
thing. No, there's
not. Justin didn't like it, but I thought it was funny.
It's not. No, there's not. Once the credits roll, you can just switch over and watch something else on Disney Plus.
Well, regardless, Hawkeye is really well done.
Yes.
The show itself is. And Jeremy Renner and I forget the name of Kaylee Steinfeld, the Kate in the series. She is all the cast is wonderfully casted. It's a well casted show. It is a well written show. If you're familiar with Matt Fraction's run on Hawkeye, then you will enjoy it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Even the dog was cast perfectly.
If you're a fan of one, I don't want to spoil anything, but one of the Netflix Marvel shows, then you will delight in a reveal that happens late in the series of Hawkeye.
Yeah.
So it's well done. It ties in nicely. It probably is one of the Disney Plus shows that ties in the best with the MCU, the other one being Falcon and Winter Soldier. And it's well worth a watch.
All righty.
Other than Hawkeye, I haven't watched any new movies or anything, so.
All right, then I guess we're about ready for the random.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, what? Yeah.
One more thing.
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
Okay, so a lot of people consider Toy Story 2 to be a masterpiece.
Fair.
You know, it's a really good animated film. Thank goodness it was only almost deleted. Yeah, apparently a command entered in the master machine where the film's animations were stored at Pixar headquarters deleted 90% of the work animators had done on it before release.
Whoo!
Yeah, they were able to restore the data from a regular backup, but still, pretty close call for Woody and Buzz. That's it.
Oh, my.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, then, Kent?
Oh, the lights are down low. The popcorn is hot. The drinks are cold. Settle in for the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
The roll of the dice, my next movie will be In the Line of Fire.
Oh, boy.
Good old Clint Eastwood movie.
Ooh.
This month, however, was Thunder Force. You got to say it that way. Thunder Force. A buddy comedy starring Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy as brand new superheroes in a world of supervillains.
Wait a minute. Who did you say stars in this film?
Octavia Spencer and Melissa McCarthy.
Okay.
You got it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it.
All right.
I'm not a Melissa McCarthy fan.
I don't think
fan,
he wants
so
it, but he's got it.
All right. In March 1983, Earth was subjected to cosmic rays that gave sociopaths superpowers, resulting in a rise of supervillains known as miscreants. With no one to stop the miscreants, normal people are usually left living in fear of being attacked by them. After a miscreant kills her geneticist's parents on their way home from work, Emily Stanton becomes determined to find a way to stop the miscreants. That's the opening paragraph from the Wikipedia page. It did a much better job of just explaining the setup. So Emily's a child, and she decides she's going to dedicate her life to her parents' work at giving regular people superpowers. Famously a terrible idea. But she's doing it so the miscreants can be stopped. She's a smart kid in school, and because of that, she becomes the target of bullies because tropes.
Yes.
She's defended and then befriended by Lydia. And the two grow up together, until they have a falling out as a result of Lydia not taking Emily's dedication seriously, and they go their separate ways. Fast forward many, many years. It's class reunion time. Lydia's going to try to get Emily to go. Emily has to work. Emily's a world-class geneticist now. And Lydia, she still lives in the old neighborhood. She works the docks of Chicago, you know, as a forklift driver. Nothing wrong with this. You know, helps out the neighborhood, doing her thing. And rather than just texting, I mean, she does text and then doesn't get any kind of responses further on. Lydia's going to go to the brand new building, you know, that Emily owns and works in. And she's going to try and grab her and bring her to this class reunion. Well, except Emily is working. So Lydia, just stay here. Don't touch anything. Lydia sits down in a fancy chair.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets injected by some kind of serum.
Uh-huh.
Come to find out that first serum was supposed to give super strength. But because Lydia sat down in the fancy chair and got injected in the face, you know, she's got to keep going with these treatments, 33 treatments, you know, because otherwise her body's going to fail on her because of all these genetic changes that are happening. Emily is going to, you know, she's going to become invisible. Like, that's her treatment. So whereas we get to watch Melissa McCarthy repeatedly stabbed with needles in the face and in the chest and the legs and so on and so forth, Emily's going to take a pill. that's just going to be a thing.
Yeah.
The training is the first half of this movie, you know. And when the training's over, they're sent to foil their first robbery. It's at a convenience store. We're going to start small. A man named the Crab, because his arms are crab arms. Hi, Jason Bateman. And the movie honestly sells me at this point. At 50 minutes and 20 seconds into this movie, when there is a sudden, out of nowhere dream sequence, as Melissa McCarthy's character and Jason Bateman's character seem to have love at first sight, and they dance to Glenn Frey's You Belong to the City. Like, we're talking full on, you know, starlight background. They could be wearing ice skates. This is so smooth. And the thing is, he's wearing like a sleeveless suit, so you can see the full crab arms on display. She's got like the 80s hair with the crimped, you know. Oh. It, you know, even without context, that scene is just great. Now, the actual plot of the movie is that there's the mayoral race for Chicago is on, and the king is winning. The king. King is the name of a dog. The king is this guy. And he's winning because he's promising that he's going to control the miscreants, and he can do that because he's basically employing them. Because I know who saw that coming. The only thing more obvious would be if he were one himself. Oh, he's one of himself.
Yeah.
Of course he is. Stuff happens. You know, the friends, they have a falling out that is so brief that it doesn't even count as dramatic tension. And then the race is on to the final confrontation. They fight the bad guy. They win. Happy endings abound. Movie's dumb. All right, this movie is dumb. It's supposed to be dumb. It excels at being dumb. It makes you feel smart by being so dumb. But it also excels at being accessible. So I acknowledge, throughout the movie, throughout watching this 90 minutes, that it's not high cinema. It's candy, and that's okay. Melissa McCarthy does a good job in her role as Lydia Berman. Octavia Spencer shines as Emily Stanton. Their chemistry really does make the film work, despite the silliness of it. I can say that I was entertained. go in with your eyes open, you'll probably have a good time. But I'm going to call this a laundry movie. There's not enough going on in this movie to keep your whole brain activated. You need something else to do whilst watching it. So when you got like 7 loads of laundry that you've been putting off, turn this movie on while you're folding it and it'll work out just fine. If you do that, it's a be like me. Otherwise, it's a don't be like me. All right. That's what I got. Thanks to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Don't forget to listen or watch our other offerings. You want me to watch what? On the 2nd and 4th week of the month, Darren's Let's Plays and Retromantics over on YouTube. On the 3rd week of the month, you know, maybe you two should do something.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, get on that. Tell your friends about us. Unless you didn't like us, then tell your enemies. We can still use the clips. And remember that they and you can find us at all the places pretty much on which podcasts can be found. So for Kent Harris, our primary red, Darren Wright, our primary yellow, and Justin White, our primary blue, I'm Chad Savage, and I made brown. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.